Yahweh, we thank you for these words. Okay, if you guys want to grab your words, we will get started. So a little sharing here tonight on the future. So as we look at the future, we're going to kind of go over a couple things. I'm going to marry a couple things together as we do this. What's going to happen in the next hour? Is anybody concerned?
No.
Except I might put everybody to sleep, boring, those type of things. But as you look at it, future is perspective to distance in time. So what's going to happen in the next hour, besides Barbie won't leave me alone, what takes place? Well, we're going to have fellowship, no big deal. No stress, pretty much, just pretty easy going. What about in the next year? How does that start to impact now when we start expanding that out? Or if we go into the next 10 years, how does that start to impact somebody where they look at the future and now what's their concerns? What's my concerns for the future? For now, for today, tomorrow, a week from now? So we have to kind of line this because as you go out, there also comes a point where you get to a time that doesn't matter because it's too far away. You know, 20 years, if you asked a kid, you know, if you ask Caveman right now, in 20 years, what do you think your future will be like? It's not comprehended. You know, it's not something that he'll comprehend. Okay, he'll comprehend up to maybe, you know, and so it changes as we get older to the future. But one thing that you do see is that people's concerns are going to be fixed within a period of time over what the future is going to be. And what is important to them could be right now. It could be in the next hour. Okay, but for most people, it's not. Fear is the driver. And so this is what we're going to be looking at here tonight. We're going to be looking at the correlation between fear and guilt. Fear that consumes. So there can be a positive to fear. That's not what we're going to be going through tonight, but I'm going to cover that right now to get that out of the way. As a risk versus reward, I would like to drive a Honda Ninja 150 miles an hour where I go. Okay? I don't because I fear that if something came out in front of me, I wouldn't have time to brake. I could end up being a paraplegic. I'm not going to jump off of a three-story building into a swimming pool. Because I fear that if something happened, I could end up as a paraplegic again, something. It's not worth it, the risk versus the reward. But what keeps me from doing that is the fear that if I did something stupid, I could live with that for the rest of my life. That can be positive. And that's not what we're talking about, but I kind of wanted to go over that. It's rational thinking. Positive thinking here with the risk versus reward when we're looking at fear. It's rational. I've decided, and it's a legitimate, okay, yeah, that makes sense why you wouldn't want to do those things. Okay, it's rational. It does not elevate my anxieties. I don't think to myself, I can't go 150 miles an hour, what am I going to do? That doesn't bother me. So it's like, okay, it'd be fun to do, but it's just not worth it, okay? What we're going to be talking about tonight is the negative form of fear. Trivial to severe, meaning that it can be something where I am deadly afraid where if somebody threw a plastic cockroach out at me, I could have a heart attack. That's really not a sensible or rational fear. To something that is severe, again, to one person it might be severe, to another person it may not. But it is not so rational. In other words, it's going to be something that controls or separates us, but not really rational to maybe anybody but yourself. Does it create anxieties? That's the big one. If it gives you the anxieties, then this is the kind of fear that we're going to be talking about here tonight. So past, present, and future. Does anybody fear the past? No. Why don't we fear the past? We've gone through it. It's over. Now, we can look back and think to ourselves, golly, during that time, I was so scared the first time I had to get up in high school and give a speech in front of the class. I was terrified. Now I look back and you're like, that was nothing. That was no big deal. Okay. We do not fear the past. So what is fear? It's based on future. Okay. We do not have fear in the present. If you are fearful to get up and speak in front of the class, as you're speaking, you may be fearful for your next 2 minutes or your next paragraph. But the fear that you're having is for something that's going to happen or your mind thinks is going to happen versus what has happened. So fear is future. Guilt, we don't feel guilt over the future. If you do, there's something wrong. Okay, if you feel guilty over the future, I'm like going, you can change it. You don't have to do this. It can be something different. Guilt is past. Guilt is past, fear is future. Okay, what we do right now separates between the two of them. So when we look at guilt is something that has happened. Fear is something that is going to happen or could happen or we just make believe that it could happen. Okay? Controlling and not being paralyzed by these emotions. These two emotions are captivating to everybody at some point. Even a person who's getting ready to speak in tongues or prophesy for the first time. What if I don't do this? What if it doesn't work? Okay, it's not guilt. They may feel guilt for not doing it. 3 years later, they may be like, well, I can't believe I waited this long to do it. I'm ashamed. That's for the past, okay? So these two things together can paralyze somebody, meaning that it will cripple them to where they do not act or don't move. Combine the two, which presents an even deadlier or more dangerous emotional experience, and that's when we fear what we did in the past, which we felt guilt over, is going to have a negative influence on our future. In other words, the guilt that we have for something is now going to carry over to become fear for future events. And that is extremely dangerous, and that completely will cripple somebody. Both will hinder our walk, but fear is really the most important for our lives to conquer. Okay, and that's where we're going to be talking about it and the why for it. All right. First quote here. Every man through fear mugs his aspirations a dozen times a day. And I have a few of them. I just put into Google, I did a search for fear. I can't remember what I put into. It came up with hundreds of them. I had to sort through to find the ones that I wanted. It was just full of them. I'm like going, oh yeah, this is obviously a big thing. When a person feels guilty over the past, they are worrying over things that are out of their control. Can you, anything that you did that you're feeling guilty of, is there anything that you can do to get rid of it other than repent? There's nothing. It's done. It's water under the bridge, so to speak. Now, you can repent about it and have it wiped clean, but that's it. So the guilt that we feel, the worry is past, it's under the bridge. But when we fear the future, we're letting the emotion cause us to relinquish control of the present. And so what it happens, and these are really good things that can be used against a person, and we use it against ourselves. That you now all of a sudden I'm fearful to stand out. Something happened, I'm fearful, I don't want to do it, I don't want to be ashamed. Like when I look at myself, I'm like, well, what am I fearful about? I'm like going to be called a dork. I'm like, well, I've been called a dork before. Won't be the first time. I can handle that, I can put up with that. And so as we conquer those and go through those and bust through those layer by layer by layer, we build ourselves up for even more times where we can stand out and face our fears and get away from those. That's what I love with the kids going and doing all those rites. I'm like, going, that's awesome. Breaking through that fear. Now they can look back. If they did do it, they'd be like, going, I really wish I would have done that. I wish I would have done that versus, look at me, what I did, what I accomplished. He that fears not the future may enjoy the present. And you're going to see the correlation of that. That fear steals from your present. It steals from you right now. Okay, not from the future. Even though fear is something of the future, it robs from you right now. Right now. And that's where I show the correlation between it. It's like a panoramic view, if you will, of the guilt versus the fear. Okay, and the guilt and fear will dwell on you in the present. But the future, with it has nothing to do with it. I'm worn down, I can't take this. But it's going to steal from you right now at this time while you're dealing with the fear. Fear produces stress. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. That's a big thing. So for a person who's a non-believer, non-Christian, they're like going, yeah, you got to look at it and be like going, yeah, well, I can see where you're coming from, I guess. I mean, I don't understand it, but without this, yeah, this really fills in the pieces. And without that, you're like, okay, you're on your own. I'll help you if you want, but you're on your own. Fears for the future. And so a few of the things here, I'm just going to go over a few of them that came up as the most common when I looked at this. And it's abandonment, being alone to face your future, whether being divorced, being separated, you lose friends, you take a stand with believing, and you lose friends, okay? And you see that in the church where they're like going, why do they not separate themselves and say things? Because of abandonment. They don't want to be abandoned, okay? That one of the big things. And a lot of believers will do that the same way. Uncertainty for the new and different, for change. Okay, that's a huge one. That can be for me as well. I've been that way before too, where I'm like going, golly, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not familiar with some. I'm uncomfortable. Lack of resources or talent or needs not being met. Will be hurt by someone or something, and I fear because it will be way too painful. So I'm never even going to endeavor down the road because I'm fearful of how it could traumatize me or really impact me. It will be too rough or tough, and I won't be able to make it. Okay? If you are afraid for your future, you don't have a present. Again, the same thing. It robs, the fear robs from you right now. And it does nothing to the future. Except tomorrow, when it becomes the future and you're still in fear, it's robbing from you that day. And it robbed from you the day before. And now you can look back and feel guilty for the days you got robbed. So it's this vicious circle, this panoramic view of the two of these, where these can end up captivating and control people. So this is kind of an odd thing here. Worry is an optional misery. Has worry ever gained anything? Ever? I mean, you think about it, and you're like, going, okay, my kids are going out. They're going out with some bad kids. I'm worried for them. What does that do? Seriously, what does it do? The worry does nothing. I mean, if you want to pray for them, if you want to speak in tongues, those things you can throw value in. You can't with the worry. The worry does absolutely nothing. And so we ponder on it, and our mind starts running amok for it, and it does absolutely nothing but build upon ourselves for more fears to come into. It is a choice. I will say that. It is a choice. We can cancel that worrying. Okay, yes, I know that this is out. Yes, there I have. I might even have a legitimate. My son was supposed to be home 2 days ago. Nobody's heard from him. Is that a legitimate worry? Yeah, it's a legitimate. But does it do anything? Does it do anything? My worrying has no impact except to steal from me right now in my present. And that's it. And so what I'm going to do is I'll become fixated upon that, and I will be just engrossed in that aspect, and I'll be missing everything else that Yahweh has in front of me. Everything it has. Okay? And so that's where I said it is a choice. It can be a tough choice sometimes, but it is. A promise equals future. And this is what we're going to look at. We're going to look in the Word. We're going to see some of the promises that Yahweh put in there. And so when you look at it, a promise as a single event, I promise somebody we go to Quick Trip. Hey, I forgot my wallet. Will you spot me a couple bucks until we get home? I'll pay you back. That's a single event promise. That is something for the future. I agree that I will do this in the future. A lifelong event, say marriage, a commitment as a believer. Even buying a house, you know, 30 years, a lot of people would look at that as a lifetime. Okay, lifetime commitment, I sign the paper, I agree, my promise is I will meet these conditions to this person or to this institution. I'll meet those. That's a promise. It's a future thing. A promise is met when it ends. So when I give the money back to the person, the promise is complete. Okay? It was a promise, now it's complete. But a promise that you give to somebody is for a future event. Multi-generational event would be from Yahweh, where he makes a promise and it covers a vast period of time, a vast group, a tribe. It can cover a lot of different things, but it's a multi-generational. We have even another one that would be basically paradise. The Yahweh's promise of paradise, and that will be running and running and running. It will be continually being delivered as we are enjoying it. But that's a kind of rare one compared to the other promises that we're looking at. In the Bible, there are over 7,000 promises, and there are promises that are still applying to us right now as the body of Christ. And so when we look at that, that's pretty prophetic when you say that, a promise, because when the promise is met, when you're told them what's going to happen and then it does, that's very prophetic in here. So let's start off in Isaiah 43. Chapter 43, verses 1 through 7, and we will be on page 687. Everybody there? All right, and I'll go ahead and read this, starting off here in verse 1. Now, therefore, thus saith Yahweh, creating thee, O Jacob, and fashioning thee, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, mine thou art. When thou passest through the waters, with thee I am. Or through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through fire, thou shalt not be scorched, and a flame shall not kindle upon thee. For I, Yahweh, am thy Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, ready to save thee. I have given as thy ransom Egypt, Ethiopia, Asheba in thy stead, because thou art precious in my eyes and honored. And I love thee, and I will give mankind in thy stead, yea, peoples for thy life. Do not fear, for with thee I am. From the east will I bring in thy seed, and from the west will I gather thee. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring in my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom for mine own glory I have created, formed ye made. Now this was written to Israel. This was written to Israel for this particular thing. I'm using this because the body of Christ, the sacred secret, was not written when this was. Now you view how we stand when Christ, or when Yahweh was telling this, that here's what he's saying, that I am with you, and now you look at us with the body of Christ where we are, the sacred secret. Do you think that applies? That he's with us, that we have Christ within us, and that we are a special, a peculiar breed, that we are his being, his dwelling through Christ. And so when we look at this, yeah, it's written to Israel, but we can find so much relevance in this because there was no body of Christ at this time. And so, yeah, we see this. And so I want to go over a couple things with this as I do this. As we look at this, in verse 2, when it says when, okay, it doesn't say if, it says when, the future, okay, is what we're looking at. When these things happen, that I am with thee. Also down in here, I will give thee as a ransom, which is the atonement price. And go down to verse 4 when it talks about that, and I will give mankind, and it's man, which is Adam. And Bollinger actually puts it in question marks there. He's not sure, but he goes, could this be Christ? That he's referring to as a precursor being, that could this be Christ? And he puts it in a question mark because it's unknown, but he does that. Like an interesting point. And ye peoples, the peoples are nations, okay, the nations that we're looking at. And so what we see here for how they're going to be guided through their problems that they're going to go through, their troubles that they're going to go through, are verses basically 2, just verse 2. And saying that when you go through these things, that I am with you, that I am with you. And it's important to know that, because now we look at it like going, yeah, these people, this was not the body of Christ where we are. We're going to do each time now, I'm going to try to do a one word so we learn a little bit of the Hebrew or Greek as we go through here. And this word is kadosh. Okay? And as you look in verse 3, it's kind of neat because it says, for I, Yahweh, in thy Elohim, the Holy One, okay, and that's it right here, Kadosh, a Holy One, okay? And I'm like, well, and that's pretty neat, because what it puts these all in here together in one verse, for I, Yahweh, Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, it's kind of a rare thing for Yahweh to refer and put this in there. I'm like, going, that's a pretty big opening package, if you will. Here it is. I'm going to throw this all out. Here's who I am. Well, a boxer doesn't come into the ring and they're like, going, oh, you're so and so, he weighs such and such. You know, they'll really boast it up. They'll tell their fighting record. They'll tell all these things to get it. And I feel that that's kind of what Yahweh's doing here. For I, Yahweh, am thy Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, ready to save thee. And I'm going, yeah, absolutely. That's pretty impressive. It's a pretty good opening line, a bold promise there. Okay, your promises from Yahweh. Yahweh will be with me. Yehoshua is in me. And so now we're looking at us here. We're going to kind of jump back and forth, but we look at us. Abandonment, to be left alone, how will I make it? This is where we're going to look at a couple of the promises, because I'm not going to go over all 5 of those that went over. I'm going to go over 2 of them. When I am in distress, Yahweh is a refuge, a help, and a strength. And so flip over to Psalms. Psalm 46:1-11. And you guys remember the teaching I did on the sons of Korah? A while back ago, this is one of the Psalms. And will somebody read that? It's 1-11. It's the whole chapter of 46.
1-11, I'll read it.
Thank you.
Elohim for us is a refuge and a strength, a help in distress, soon found. For this cause will we not fear. Though the earth showeth change, or the mountains slip into the heart of the seas, the waters therefore roar of foam, and the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. Selah. A river whose channels shall gladden the city of Elohim, the Most High, hath hallowed his habitation. Elohim is in the midst of her. She shall not be shaken. Elohim will help her by the turning of the morning. Nations have roared. Kingdoms have tottered. He hath uttered his voice. Earth melted. Yahweh of hosts is with us. A high tower for us, the Elohim of Jacob. Selah. Come, view the doings of Yahweh, who hath set desolation in the earth, causing wars to see the end of the earth. The bow, he shivereth, that breaketh in pieces the spear. War chariots burn he up with fire. Let be, and know that I am Elohim. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. A high tower for us is the Elohim of Jacob. Selah.
and verse 10 is pretty cool because when you look it up there for the actual words, let be, or other translations will say be still, it means to relax. So, you know, like the New Living Translation say, like, chill, brother. But that's it, to relax, to relax. And so the big thing is, it's hard to be relaxed when I'm worrying. You can't do that. The two differ from each other. You also can't be relaxed when you are in fear. And so guess what the fear does? And I've done that before with the teaching on faith. Fear and faith are polar opposites. They chase each other. The faith will chase out the fear, as will the reverse. And so when we look at that, to relax, to let be, to relax, relax, and know that I am Elohim. Okay? Well, that's tough. It's easy said when you're sitting in a room where it's nice and peaceful and quiet and nothing's chasing you down or haunting you. Okay, it's one of those things, though, that we have to remind ourselves and place upon ourselves and know that, boy, when times come, how am I going to... I have to be prepared for these things, because they're going to. Things will happen. So when they do, I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay, relax. How do I relax? Now that's what I got to figure out. How do I relax? Golly, what do I do? And there's so many ways to do it, but there was one scripture that I did not use that I pulled up and done some search on. And it was the fathers, how the fathers trusted. And it was in the Psalms. It was one of David's that he put in there. That he was crying out. I think it was 22, if I'm not mistaken. But he was crying out that things are tough, that they're going to crucify him, and they're going to tear his clothes, and cast lots for his clothes. And my God, why have you forsaken me? Okay. And as he goes through this, right in the middle of it, he says, but as our fathers, as my fathers trusted upon you, we can trust in Yahweh. Like, yeah, well, here he is. This is a perfect example. Nobody's chasing me down like that. But he's saying that. And he's like going, even in his torment, he's speaking out these positives that our fathers did this. Our fathers before, they trusted in Yahweh. He delivered. He delivered us. Okay? But yeah, I'm in peril. I'm in peril. Yeah, I know I'm in peril. But he delivered. Yahweh delivered to those that believed on him and had trust and faith in him. Yahweh will not abandon me. We may abandon Yahweh. And that's a big one, because I hear that all the time, that Yahweh will never leave you. What happened in this situation? What went wrong? People do abandon Yahweh. And they may have started out being with Yahweh, and Yahweh's there with them. But if a person abandons Yahweh, that's your choice to do that. And the nation of Israel, Judah, they did that. They both, in time, abandoned Yahweh. And what happened? It wreaked upon themselves what took place, what was going to take place. And so, yes, that can happen. And what happened is now they become into peril and they fall back to Yahweh, and Yahweh is there to help them again. We don't have to go through that, but Yahweh will not abandon us, but we can abandon Yahweh. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31:6. I will read this. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 through 8. It'll be on page 230. And this obviously, when you read the preface there to the chapter 31, Moses, preparing to depart, commends Yahoshua, writes and gives in charge the law, prepares and teaches the witnessing song, his witnessing song. And so let's drop down here to verse 6 there, which is about, most people probably already have this highlighted or marked. Pretty common scripture. Be firm and bold. Do not fear nor tremble. No worrying. Okay? This is it. Do not fear or tremble. Okay? That is even beyond the fear. Do not fear or fear not. Do not fear or tremble because of them, for Yahweh thy Elohim it is who's going with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called for Yahoshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be firm and bold, for thou shalt go with this people into the land which Yahweh sware unto their fathers to give unto them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. But Yahweh it is who is going before them. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Thou must not fear nor be dismayed. The dismayed is your worry. Okay, get rid of it. Cancel it out. Get it out. And so if a person's like going, I can't, then what can you do? You're singing a song. You can do anything. Speaking in tongues. Get your mind diverted. Get your mind diverted from that. And there can be times where, Aaron and I were talking about this not too long ago, there can be times where you've got to throw somebody out. I'm sorry, I know you're a believer, but in this problem right now, I need you to step aside because of your fear or because of your worrying or because of your doubt. We need faith right now, faith action. And so that can happen. And I could see that where you might have your best warrior And he's shaking, he's trembling, and he's might freak other people out. God, he's our best dude. Look at him. Okay? And here you have these kids who the armor's literally dragging on the ground behind them, and they're ready to go. Send them. Send them. And the other guy, you tell him, hey, you sit this one out. If you can kick this out of you, come join us. Well, we're going. And so that's where it comes down to not be dismayed either. All right, moving on here. A couple of scriptures that we don't have to look at because I do have a lot of them. Have I not commanded thee, be firm and bold, do not start, nor be dismayed, worried, for with thee is Yahweh thy Elohim, whithersoever thou goest. And also Isaiah, the 43, the one that we did, and this is an important one. When thou passest through the waters, the fire, the flame, the rivers, with thee I am. Your future. Okay? Bubble breaker. You're going to face some major troubles, and you can count on it. So there's my motivational speech. Okay? It's going to happen. It's going to happen at some time. Something's going to happen. Something will take place. Something will come crashing down unexpectedly that we're not prepared for, or we don't feel like we're prepared for. You will not be alone in those troubles. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, please. All right, and this one's, I'll go ahead and read this one here too. Chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. One of these gets read a lot, the other one not as much. I'm going to read them both. 16, 32, and 33 on page 113. Starting off in verse 32. Lo, there come an hour, and hath come, that ye should be scattered, each unto his own home, and me alone should leave. And yet I am not alone, but the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be taking courage, I have overcome the world. Okay? And it's a big thing that even as everybody left, he still knew that, hey, I won't be alone. I'm not going to be alone. Even though everybody would think that and the guilt would be there, he was not alone. Okay? Promises Yahweh, second one here that we're going to look at, is the guidance aspect, where we feel like we're tossed about, where we don't know where we're going, what we're supposed to do. Well, guide me in the unknown. Fear of change or out of my comfort zone. This is a big one. This is where people are like going, I need you to go do this. Okay, I want you to go do this. And you're like going, I don't know that place. I'm not good with this. I don't know those people. What if it's even worse than that? What if this is a people who don't like me? This is something that is way beyond there, where it's like going, it's an apparent danger, and Yahweh's telling me to go do this. Okay, I'm supposed to go do this. This is way out of my comfort zone. And so, yeah, this is where we're looking for the guidance, the promise of Yahweh, the promise of it. When these people are going across to take the promised land, guess what? They knew what they were going against. Okay, as grasshoppers, they were going against these mighty champions. They knew it. They saw it. People told them what it was going to be. Now, in their mind could run amok. Now, instead of a 13-foot person, you've got a 50-foot person running through your mind. Okay? Again, the same thing. The guidance from Yahweh and not the world. When those things start crashing on, you know, people would go to... had a friend of mine who's a believer, and in times of peril, he went to a palm reader. I'm like going, are you kidding me? Yeah, well, she was pretty accurate, and she prayed. I'm just like going, let me break this out. So I just break out the word and show him. And he's like going, they felt bad. I'm like going, you need to repent for this, dude. You don't do this. You go to the Creator. You don't go to somebody else to give you what you want to hear. Okay? People do, but we don't go to the world. We go to guidance of Yahweh. Again, 7,000 promises in the Scripture. If you want to find one, pick it up. Pick it up, you'll find them. And guess what? When you read somebody else's promise that came through and was fulfilled, it might add a little bit of bonus to it saying, hey, look at all these that he fulfilled. And all these now that are applying to me, will they be fulfilled? I would say yes. I would say yes. I got pretty good proof. Let's go to Psalms 32, 8 through 10. Everybody's like going, why does he keep having us jumping back? We were just there. All right, if somebody would read that for me, 32, 8 through 10, please.
I will make thee discreet. I'll point out to thee the ways which thou must go. I will fix upon thee mine eye. Do not ye become like a horse, like a mule, without discernment. With the bit and bridle of his mouth hast thou to restrain him. he will not come near unto thee. Many pains hath a lawless one, but he who trusteth in Yahweh, loving kindness shall compass him about.
That's it. And that's it. And the compass or compass there for that is totally encircling, totally surrounding the person. And I love that within there, that I will fix upon thee mine eye. Okay, do not become like a horse. And that's where you see too many people. The people want to be the horse. Put the reins and the bit in my mouth and tell me when to turn left, tell me when to turn right, and I'll go. Versus having the faith that Yahweh will tell me, and now I have to stand out in faith to go do this. Okay, and by doing this, I'm going to kick out the fear and I'm going to kick out the worry. And so don't be like these people. Don't be like those things that require that to be moved. Be non-stiff-necked. Come out yourself and do it. Proverbs 2, 6 through 8. And so we're going to kind of jump back and forth now between Psalms and Proverbs. But if you will switch over to 2. Two, six through eight, and I'll go ahead and read that here. Sorry, my sticker fell off here. 6 through 8. For Yahweh giveth wisdom out of his mouth, knowledge and understanding. Yea, he treasureth for the upright safety. A shield is he to whom who walk in integrity. Okay, or without blame, if you see the footnote there, to him that observeth the path of justice, yea, and the way of his men of loving kindness doth he guard. Flip back over to Psalms 25 here. Psalms 25, 12 through 15. It'll be on page 540, and if somebody would read those three for me.
I can write it.
Who then is the man that revereth Yahweh? Let him direct him into the way he should choose. His soul with prosperity shall tarry, and his seed shall possess the land. Intimacy with Yahweh have they who revere him. His covenant also he letteth them know. Mine eyes are continually unto Yahweh, for he bringeth out of the net my feet.
That's it. And so this is it. These are promises that are being told here. Okay, if those people who walk in righteousness, who come to Yahweh, who have Yahweh as theirs, okay, and even saying that even when he does get tied up, that Yahweh, okay, will bringeth out the net of my feet. Okay, that even when those times when I do get strung up, when an attack does come, and I get wrestled into something, that Yahweh will rescue. He will rescue. And so I'm like going, yeah, great. Okay, and that's for those people who do those things. And so I'm like going, these are the promises that Yahweh's telling us. And so we're like going, okay, how do we combat the worry? How do we combat the fear? We've got promises. Now, if I still want to have that fear and that worry, that means I'm rejecting or not taking heed to the promises that have been written. I don't know if I really believe that. Okay, and so that's where we say that we combat it. We combat it with the knowledge, with the scriptures. We can quote these. When we're in those times, we read these things and we repeat these things. These are the things that free us. So the first picture that I showed you, that road, the curving road, I thought it was kind of an interesting thing, because here we are in Colorado and we're driving up in the mountains and people following, and I get behind somebody slow and I'm like going, golly, if I knew... I know it's a double line, but if I knew there was nobody coming around that corner, I'd step on it. Okay, what keeps me from doing that? The fear that somebody is coming around the corner. Okay, that's a fear, and so I don't do it. I don't do it. Guess what? That's my perspective. What's Yahweh's perspective? And this is just an illustration. Yahweh's perspective is here, right here. You look at the picture here. Yahweh looks down there. He knows what's coming around the corner. Yahweh sees what's coming around two corners from now. And so when we look at this, we don't understand that, because we see our little tunnel vision for today. And what we see in the future may scare us for something. It's uncertainty. We don't know what this is. Yahweh does. He sees these things. And he tells you. He gives you the promises. I'm not going to show you exactly what's going to happen. I want you to go through these motions. I want you to have faith and trust in me as we do this walk together. I'm with you. But I'm seeing what's happening, and I'm knowing what's happening. And so the perspective is important. And that's, I kind of like this one here, right here, Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but Yahweh directeth his steps. A couple more here. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Nobody get mad at me for jumping back and forth between. I didn't want to put them all in order from Psalms and then Proverbs. We had to jump back and forth. Proverbs 3, 1 through 7, and I'll read this here. 6:10. And chapter 3 is at the top right column, starting off in verse 1 through 7. My son, my instruction do not thou forget. For crying out loud, that's what we do. Do we not forget? Does the word, the world not come and steal away the instruction? Or try to pollute the instruction through wrong teachings or wrong doctrines? It pollutes the instructions. And now you see where people, you have the new ageism where, no, this pastor said that this is perfectly fine. I'm okay. Well, that's not the instruction. My son, mine instructions, do not thou forget to be pure. This is it. Do not thou forget, and my commandment, let thy heart observe to ponder for length of days and years of life, and blessedness shall they add to thee. Loving kindness and faithfulness, let them not forsake thee. Bind them upon the neck. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. Okay? Or in thy memory. In other words, this has to be something that you just can regurgitate in your sleep almost, to where you're so familiar with it, that I will not forget thine instructions. I will not forget them. I will not have them. Because they'll be on the tip of my tongue what I have to do. The prophecies that I have, the words that you've written, of what I am in the body of Christ. What's my authority? For crying out loud. How many believers do you come across that have no clue what their authority is under the body of Christ? They're sheep. They want to just be led. Okay? And we have beyond that. We are the power that can do those things. And so this is where we say that. To have those written around them, that they're written as written them upon the tablet of thy heart or in thy memory. So find thou forever in verse 4, and good repute in the eyes of Elohim and man. Verse 5. Trust thou in Yahweh with all thy heart, and unto thine own understandings do not lean. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight thy paths. Do not become wise in thine own eyes. Revere Yahweh and avoid evil. Okay? And that's a good one. I like to, even with that, to make those paths straight. But it's another thing after that. It's another thing that there's condition after condition when we go through the Word. Okay, when Solomon was brought up to be as wise as he was, and then goes against the instructions and the commandments, and what happens? What happens? He becomes his own self-sufficiency, his own Elohim. He relies upon himself. And that's exactly what we're talking about right here. Do not become wise in thine own eyes. Revere Yahweh and avoid evil. No fear. Okay, we should also add no guilt to it. Okay, so anxiety. This is from Arthur Roche. He was a Catholic, something in the monarch. I'm not sure the whole Catholic hierarchy. But anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. And that's exactly it. So as we ponder and fill ourselves with the fears and the worries, it steals, and it almost as a siphon pulls everything else down with it. And that's very accurate. That was the one that I, of all of them, I'm like going, golly, that's hard hitting. And that's exactly it. It will steal away from the present while you are worrying about something in the future that has not happened or may not ever happen. And so to stop that, to put that, no, you know what? I don't even care about tomorrow. I am living right now for today, and I'm going to enjoy everything that's placed right here before me today. And I'm going to separate myself. I'm not going to think about any future. Because as soon as I do that, if my mind starts to run amok, then I have to say, okay, I've got to stop. I've got to stop this and ponder it so that I don't fall prey. It's because I have. I've been here before, and I know when I get to that point, I'm like, well, this is madness. What's going on? It's stealing my joy from me. It's just taking everything from me. So that is all. I'll go ahead and if somebody would like to close for me, then I'll have a word for anybody who's watching now or for later on.
Sure, I will. We thank you, Adonai Yahweh, Elohim of hosts. We thank you for your son also, Yahushua Mashiach, for this teaching. We thank you for helping us that if we humble ourselves, that you'll instruct us. And just like what Tim pointed out, that you'll make our path straight. And how many times we complain and worry about we don't know which direction to go.
But have we departed from your word, is the question. So we thank you that as we hold fast to your word and your instructions, that you will straighten things out. We thank you for putting people in our lives to help us humble ourselves. And so that we don't just become wise in our own eyes, that we know how to do things. But instead, we know that humility is an avenue to receive strength from you. We thank you for these teachings and for revelation, how we are to apply it specifically in each one of our lives. We speak blessings upon Don and Tim's house and for my father, my mother, Telios Ministries, who's financing all these things. And we claim victory through Yahushua Mashiach. Amen.
My sons and my daughters, know that as I have created the things of this earth, I call upon you to take notice, to just glean in the things that are around you. Look at the zebra, for I have separated the light from the dark stripes. And I do this for my glory and for my pleasure, that I am able to see these things and create these things. And I have made these so that they could be a blessing and to be seen. And I have done this for you. For how much greater are you than the livestock that I've created? For I've made you, and I've made you with the purpose that you are to come out from the things that shelter you, or where you feel comfort, because your comfort is in within me, that I am able to give you true comfort and true joy, that I call upon you, that you have been created for purpose. I'm calling you into that purpose, that I may extend these things to you, that I may extend the beautiful things to you, to show you more, to be able to encourage you and elevate you and bring you to greater places, that this is a glory for me, that as I've created you, I see more upon you than I do of the beasts and of the creatures that I have made you to fellowship with me and to be able to do the work that I am calling upon you to do. Take hold of the plow, take hold of the cart, that you may put your shoulder to it and begin. Amen. All right, well, thank you, everybody. And we will be at Aaron's house next Wednesday. You guys have a great week. Bye.
Great teaching. Thank you, Tim.
All right.